few weeks ago, I was talking about chapter 9. I think that was the passage. I told you guys there's a song says that, you know, why spend our time answering questions no one is asking? And the other saying, you say, we have the answer for life, but just don't know the question. If you ask people why they don't come to church, you will hear often three words, values. There's no values going to church. Why do I have to get up so early on Sundays? The message, the teaching is not relevant to me, and the message, because of that, is boring, all these things. And they just love to live on their own. They enjoy their lives, and they just don't want to be bothered by Christians. They don't mind your relationship because they know Christians are good people, but they just don't want to take your belief, or they just don't want to bother to come to church, and they just want to enjoy lives. And then, but somehow we have to cross that bridge and cross to the other side, try to reach them. Since I think many years, we realized that people, when you open the church door, they don't come in as used to be. And now we have to go out and find them and cross that bridge of culture sometimes, because in Toronto, as you know, this is a very multicultural society. So it's our task to understand where they are at and their culture, and hopefully when we cross the bridge, we can be effective ambassadors for Christ. So it's important for us to bring the cross, or someday they will stumble over the cross and they need some answers. They need to know what is happening in their lives. And some people go through tough times. Some people lost their job. Some people are sick, and they need to know why and what is happening in their lives. And I hope that that will be a moment that we are ready at least to share the gospel with them. And it's very important for us to understand how to engage. So today we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, this passage. And if you look at it, I think it's an important passage, because Paul says the Jews stumble over the cross and the Greek think that it is foolishness. It is what people think about the cross. A lot of us, when we talk about Christianity, the cross, what Jesus did, and I think a lot of your friends, deep down in their hearts, either they think it's just a silly thing to believe someone died for you, or what he had done is effective even today after 2,000 years. And they don't believe Jesus was God or is God to start with. But we need to see that. Paul says we see others, but others like you and me who has experienced God himself, see that this is the power and wisdom of God. This is what he proclaimed in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 right here. So today I just want to have 2 points to share with you looking at this passage. Today is more like a Sunday school. So I have a lot of information to share with you. So I hope you pay attention. The first point I want to share with you is, what do we learn from the past? What do we learn from the past? If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says here about two groups of people. The first group is the Jews. The Jews look at the cross and they stumble over it. That's what Paul described. And they did not see the kind of Messiah they want. When they look at Jesus, when Jesus was presented to them, they don't see him. They could not see him as a Messiah, and who died on the cross in a shameful way. And the Bible already tells us that Jesus came into his own, and his own received him not. This is already foretold. And we knew this is going to happen. Jesus came, but the Jewish people could not see him as a Messiah, because it has something to do with their culture. With Jewish culture, they put highest value on something called signs, power, and strength. These all have to do with miracles. Signs, power, and strength. Something powerful. Something has to be done quickly. Something could be done quickly. And God was the one who performed all this. So they want to see miracles. It's not hard to understand that. Because if you look at the Old Testament, look at the Jewish culture, you know how they develop. God was always there when they started. And it's not hard to understand that every time when God shows up, he shows a lot of power manifest his miracles. And so to them, God, who was supposed to be very, very powerful, doing something incredible. And when God said that I have to do this, it will be passed. It will be done. And every time God shows up, it's different stories. Everything will be changed. But Jesus, even though he performed miracles, just healing eyes, fixing this, you know, to them it's nothing compared to God who shows up in the Old Testament. So to them it is not practical. The cross, looking at it, is too weak. When God came, it should be powerful. And this is what they learn in the Old Testament. This is what they admire. This is what God, who's supposed to be, walking powerfully. But Jesus did not fit the bill. He did not show up like that at all. And so they had a hard time to see him like that. They want to see miracles, power, strength, very, very awesome power. And this is what they are looking for. They are looking for a Messiah who can overturn the Roman control. Not just dying on the cross. What does it mean, dying on the cross? Didn't do anything to them, for them. So they thought Jesus did not fit the bill as a Messiah. They could not see that because their culture, they are highly practical people, valuing actions, because they see every time God shows up, there's something could be done, actions and results. And this is the Jewish culture. Their highest value is very practical. They're valuing actions and results. When I look at it, no wonder Chinese people are, you know, easier for us to read the Bible, because we are so much closer to them. We are very practical. We have a very practical culture too. We value actions and results as well. In terms of salvation, for them, it is what? You have to be right with God. All the time, every time they sin against God, every time they worship idols, they walk away from God, you know what happened? And God came and punished them. So in order for them to be good, to be saved, to have a right relationship with God, they have to be good. They have to do the right things. That's why they are so practical people. They have to do something and do it right so that God will be pleased with them. And that is their culture. To them is to follow the law from the Old Testament. Follow the law, because when they did not follow the law, what happened? Both countries, the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom, what? Being overturned, and then it was destroyed. They were exiled. And then they knew that that was the problem. God told them, because you did not follow my law, so that was your result. So they really valued how they relate to God is by doing right things. But the problem was, the heart was not there. The actions, behavior. So they follow what God required them to do. You know, they go to temple, you know, they have the festival, and they do the right things. And just like us, we come to church on Sunday. We're supposed to go to small groups. We do the right thing. We hope that God will be pleased with us. And this is, we call it this own righteousness. We try to be right with God. We try really hard to accomplish salvation. And I hope that God is going to accept us. And this is the Jewish culture. They are very practical people. And because they see God all the time in the Old Testament, when I was studying Hebrew language, because of, you know, seminary, the languages are very simple compared to Greek. Greek is very complicated. If you have studied a little bit of Greek is a very complicated language. It was used in the New Testament, because Greek, later on we will get there, why it's so complicated, because the people. And Jewish people, they were very simple-minded. So the Greek, the Hebrew culture and the Hebrew languages are very simple. To them, it's done, it's not done. In terms of action, verb, tense, it's very simple. When God said it's done, even though it's done, he said that in the future, when he said that he will get it done, it will be done. It is already done to them. So it's very simple mindset type of people, very practical, because God was there in their lives. So that's why they could not see Jesus as a Messiah. How about the Greek? Well, we know Greek people. Even today, your mind, in your heart, especially your mind, there are still a lot of pieces from Greek culture, Greek thinking. Because the Western cultures are heavily influenced by Greek culture. So if you grow up in Western, like this country, a lot of things in your heart, in your mind, thinking, the processing, are influenced by Greek philosophies. You might not realize that, but this is true. Well, can you show slide one? Well, they have a lot of thinkers. One of them you know really well is Plato. The other one is this guy. And he said the secret to a successful society is education. If we can just give everybody a good education, when you must follow, the world will get better and better. That's what they believe. You know, they are thinkers. And they think if everybody got education, the world will get better. Do you believe that? I'm not against education. But today, education, within education, there's no what? Moral teaching. We are smarter, but we are not better as a people. We are smarter people, but we are not better people. A lot of crimes today are committed by so-called white-collar people. We are smarter. We know better how to sin, how to break the laws. Anyway, but you still go to school, okay? Because you need the education. So if you look at it, you will see this is what they think. They think a lot. They are the philosophers of the Western world in those days. Even today, as I said, we are still influenced by them a lot in our language, in our processing, logic, reasoning, all these things. We still find traces from Greek cultures and philosophies. Acts 17, you will see how Paul came to Athens, and then he confronted them with this unnamed God, and he tried to talk to them about God, and to them it was just foolishness. The cross, the whole message, reasons tells you that babies are not born to virgin girls. Reason to them tells you that God, who is spirit, does not become flesh. Reason tells you that Almighty God will not allow puny man to nail him, the so-called God, to a cross. Reasons tell you that when a man dies, he cannot be resurrected back to life again. None of that makes any sense to them. And Greek look at it, it's just foolish. The cross, the message, is foolish. To them, salvation is very much like self-help. Today, if you are into this self-help thing, I think a lot to do with the concept of salvation in the Western world, especially in Greek culture. They believe everybody will be saved eventually. If you do well in this life, maybe a few more times, incarnation, reincarnations, and they believe that eventually each one of us will become God, small g God. If you are not doing well this life, well, you will be reincarnated, and then you will try again in next life, and hopefully someday you will be okay, and then you will become God yourself. So salvation to them is self-help, is doing well. So that's why they spend a lot of energy thinking, you know, how can be a better person? So they think education is one of those. And if you look at it, this is what they believe. So salvation to them, they don't need a savior, because ultimately it's you and me save ourselves. Just keep doing well and doing being good. Eventually, someday, you will become God. Have you heard this religion before? Reincarnation, keep in reincarnation, and then someday you'll become God. Hindus, they are believing very similar. And that's why they don't need Jesus. They don't need God. They need themselves. They need being smart and doing good things, and someday they will be saved. So why are you telling me all of this, Pastor Stan? What is the importance of it? Well, if you look at it, you will see that this is how they formulate their worldview. Remember last time? I don't think you remember, so I just show you again. And what is worldview? This is how Greek and Jews formulate their worldviews. That's why I just said, you know, what is important to them and how they form and how they, based on this, form their worldviews, how they see the world. And you look at the theology. It's a very, the first one is theology, how they view God. And this is how each culture formulate their worldview, Chinese, whatever, how we form our worldview. And this is how these two group of people, one group is very practical. I think these two group of people really represent what is happening today. One group is very practical people. The other group is what? Thinkers, philosophers, try to use their mind, their head to solve all the problems. And these two groups, I think we see them every day. And this is a worldview. So what can we learn? What do we learn from the past is these two cultures, Jewish culture and the Greek culture. It was important in those days, in Paul's time. But what can we learn? The second point I want to share with you is, what can we learn from the past? What can we learn from the past? I want to show you next 10 minutes. Please wake up, because I'm going to show you very important stuff, I think. Not just to you, to me too. So I'm learning this stuff as I share with you. Greeks who were saved came to see. Greek represented not just Greek people, but those people who are thinkers. Greek who were saved came to see that the cross was the ultimate wisdom, making it possible for God to both judge and justify of those who believe. And it's very important. The gospel, when you present the gospel to different cultures, we are going to offend the culture more or less. But at the same time, we draw them to Christ in different ways. So it's very important for us to understand the culture, but at the same time, even though the gospel itself will offend them somewhat in some ways, but at the same time, the gospel attracts them in some ways. So this is for the Greek. When you present the gospel, they look at it as a foolishness. But if you present it to them, we see them, they are the wise people. They use their mind. They are very powerful people because they know what is wisdom. But if you look at it, we can also help them to see the ultimate wisdom in the gospel is Jesus Christ. God, He is just and justified of those who believe. God still can't make us accountable to what we do, but at the same time, He's a justifier. Through Jesus Christ, we can be saved. And this is the wisdom. The other group of people, very practical people. Remember, one group of people is our thinkers. They love to think. The other group of people is practical doers. I think some of you, if I ask you to raise hands, I think maybe half and half, or maybe, I don't know the percentage. Who are the thinkers? Then you will raise your hand. Who are the doers? Then you will raise your hand. So you represent two, not just cultures, but also mindset. The Jews who have been saved came to see that the cross was the true power. To them, remember, the Old Testament, the God in the Old Testament was indeed a powerful God, but Jesus did not fit the bill. But they have to see that it meant that our most powerful enemy, sin, guilt, and death itself, have been defeated. They have to see it in different ways. When we present the gospel, we need to let them see that. The most powerful miracle happened on the cross. Sin has been defeated. The most powerful things that God can do was on the cross. Everything is temporary. If you look at the Old Testament, the miracles that God did was temporary. But this one, for eternity, making a huge impact in people's lives. The miracle that God performed in the Old Testament did not completely change the Jewish people's heart, because if you look at the history, Every time God left, he did not show miracles again. They just went back to their old ways. There's no life-changing reality in their lives. But in our lives, we should see that because what Jesus did. So this is the most powerful work that God had performed, actually was on the cross. If you look at chapter 1, when Paul talked about Greek and the Jews, you will see how Paul confronts each culture. At the same time, he did affirm their strength, the ultimate values. Listen carefully. When we present the gospel, not only we go in as a confrontation, but at the same time affirming their values. This is what Paul is doing. Paul sees what is important to the Jewish people, and Paul sees what is important to the Greek people. But he confronts them, not completely destroy, downplay what they think is important. But at the same time, he is not going there to affirm all their values. We do that all the time, because when you are new immigrants, you came to Canada, the first few years, that was part of my conversation. You know, when I came to Canada, Western cultures, Chinese culture, then I compare both, which one is better? Then I just pick the better ones from both cultures. We do that all the time. But you have to realize what is good, what is bad first, right? So it's a very similar concept. And then he used the cross to challenge those thinkers and also the doers. I just mentioned to you this, how he does that. The cross, the message of the gospel, all the time can be used for thinkers as well as for doers. And then we need to present Christ as the ultimate answer. So what's the basic formula? According to Tim Kalitz, this is the basic formula for contextualization. Contextualize. Paul's approach. Please pay some attention to this one. Paul's approach to culture is neither completely confrontation or totally affirming. He reveals the contradiction and underlying idolatry within their cultures and then points them to the resolution that can only be found in Christ. You have different friends from different cultures in school, at workplaces. And I think it's very important. Unless you said that, Pastor, I have no desire, I have no interest to discuss the gospel with them at all, then you don't need to cross the bridge. You just stay where you are at. Enjoy your own lives. But if you do take God's commands, Jesus' commandments seriously, crossing the bridge, making disciples in the world, we have to cross the bridge. We are not living in Hong Kong or China with the same cultures. We are not Canadians. I'm sorry to say that you are not completely Canadians because you have Chinese blood in you. And we have different cultures living in the cities. Unless you say, I only share the gospel with Chinese people only, that may be easier for you. But if it's not what you want, you have your desires to share the gospel with other people, then I think we need to learn how to cross that bridge and engage people meaningfully. So what does it mean to you and me? How does it work for you and me? When we enter a culture, when we engage people that are not Chinese, there's a guy, he's a missiologist, David, I don't know how to say his last name. There's a three basic way people reason, he says. He's a missionary, he studied missions, so he encountered a lot of cultures. So three basic ways for people to different cultures, within the cultures, how they reason. So he basically divide three groups of people. Conceptual. People make decisions, arrive at conviction through analysis and logic. Who are these people? Dave Wong. Can you make it bigger? Western culture, Western world. People make decisions. This is what you learn in school. Concrete relational. People make decisions and arrive at convictions through relationships and practice. Who are these people? You have no idea? Singer. Eastern. Yeah, very close. Well, Tim Keller says Chinese. He actually used the word Chinese. But I think it's more than that. I think there are Oriental people, Southeast Asia people, treasure relationships a lot. If you look at those cultures, nations, relationship is everything. Chinese people, Japanese, Korean, you know, Filipino, Southeast Asians. And then the last one, intuitional. If you look at those people, Western world, Southeast Asia, and the intuitional, who are these people? South Asia, India. People make decisions and arrive at conviction through insight and experience. So they, you know, if you look at the documentary, a lot of people in India, they meditate, you know, they try to sort out life, all these things. So if you look at this group, Southeast Asians and Indian and also the people around there in that area, also Western world, you almost half of the world populations are here. This is how we reason. Relationship is everything to us, to Chinese people. Sometimes we don't reason because we are afraid to break relationships so that we forget about reasoning. We just say, oh, well, just get this way done, or get it done this way, or okay, let's let it go because I don't want to hurt people. So it's very relational people that this is how we make decisions. Or this is how we reason. So what is the point of knowing all these cultures? What is the reasons? What is the point we know how they reason? Well, ultimately, I hope that we want, just like Paul, a desire to present the gospel to them. That's why we want to know how they reason. When you talk to them, the questions they ask you, how they think, how they try to reason out things, I hope that will give you a little bit idea. So it's a common core. If you look at the book of Acts, how many of you have read the book of Acts? There's no shame in it if you don't raise your hand. The book of Acts, if you look at the book of Acts, you will see how Paul preached different gospel in different occasions. And some people try to look at it, how he presented the gospel. And if you look at it, those chapters, you will see he's, the way he presented the gospel every time is different. The gospel is the same. Brothers and sisters, I don't want you to get the impression that we have different gospels. There's only one gospel. But the way we present it very much depends on your audience. Are they thinkers? Are they doers? What kind of stage, what kind of culture they are coming from? And then in all those messages that Paul preached in the book of Acts, and people narrow it down to three core that are in there all the time, is the challenge. People are being told what their understanding of God and ultimate reality is wrong. It's very important to tell, to give them a right concept who God is. And then the personal challenge, of course, is regarding the sin, you know, because if you have a right concept of God, then we have to deal with our problem, our sin against God. So we have to deal with the personal challenge. We have to deal with the sin issues. And the proclamation of Christ, of course, is the answer of that problem. But how to do it is different. If you have time, you have not read the book of Acts, but you told me you have read it, and go back to read it again. And just pay attention to how Paul presents the gospel to his audience. Read those audience background. Some are, you know, They are in high position. Some are just common people. And just look at how Paul presents the gospel. He always does it in different ways. But he brings them to this, ultimately. The right concept of who God is, because there's God, a holy God, a just God, so we have a problem, the sin problem. We have sinned against him, and the answer is of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I hope most of you will have a chance someday. Maybe you have already done this. Just like Sam, Lydia, they are in this battlefield every day. Victor 2. And he's going soon to the battlefield. I hope that not only three of them are in this business of sharing the gospel with other people, with other cultures. I hope that each one of us living in Toronto, I don't know how you look at it, some people think it's wonderful to live in Toronto because there are so many cultures. And some people think, well, there's too many, I need to move away. But I hope that each one of us has an opportunity to engage, cross that bridge, and engage people with different cultures and share the gospel with them. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you thanks for today, and thank you for Paul, who has a big heart to share the gospel. Lord, we thank you for his missionary journeys that was recorded in the Bible, his own experience, how he looked at different cultures and how he engaged different cultures with the gospel. Lord, we just pray that we will, as a Christians, we will be able to pick up this knowledge from the Bible. Lord, this is a reality. People are from different cultures. People have different worldviews. And Lord, we just pray that we will be able to effectively engage these cultures. We have the answer. But Lord, a lot of time we do not know how people reason their questions and how people form their questions. Lord, we just pray that you will give us wisdom. First of all, give us love to cross that bridge. Give us courage to engage. Lord, we know that we are not, a lot of time we feel that we are not equipped. We are fearful. Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit will give us the right words, as the Bible promises. You give us the right words to say. But Lord, we just ask you to give us the big heart for the lost and give us courage to cross the bridge. Lord, we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.